Father, we thank you for today. We give you praise for today. We thank you for the opportunity to commemorate, oh Father, the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Humbly take your seat. Humbly take your seat. We thank God for yet another wonderful time to share in his presence. It's beautiful. And I'm not going to lie. I think 2023 has gone faster than I thought. Was it just not last week we began in January? It looks like it's gone so fast. I feel like we are actually now in July. But we are so grateful to the Lord for his mercies, his grace, his faithfulness. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He has kept you from January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. In the good times and in the bad times. In the times when you cried, in the times when you were happy, the Lord was by your side. Many of us received news that made us happy. Many of us received news that made us sad. But through it all, God has been with us. So I want to remind you of one thing. Be thankful. Be thankful. Even as we are entering into the season of the end of the year, I want to remind you that be thankful for how the Lord has led you. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for your children. Be thankful for your friends. Be thankful for your schooling. Even if you are not where you want to be, you are not where you were. There has been progress in your life. And we need to have that heart of thanksgiving. Turn to someone sitting beside you. Tell the person, be thankful. Shake the person by the shoulder. Tell the person, be thankful. Amen. So today, our theme for today's service is God, the giver of good gifts. God, the giver of good gifts. And our sermon scripture is coming from James 1, verse 17. Can we read together? One, two, three, go. Amen. So he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So every good gift is from the Lord. How many of us enjoy receiving gifts? How many of us like gifts? I can see a lot of ladies' hands more than men. Yeah, I think it's beautiful when we give gifts. Amen. It's beautiful. In my family, we had to put an embargo on certain gifts because every Christmas, the guys would always get amazing things for the women. And the woman would always buy us three common things. One, a new pair of socks. Two, new pair of singlets. And the third one, ties or boxer shorts. So my dad made an announcement before Christmas. No socks. No singlets. No boxer shorts. We have enough from last year. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful when you give gifts. There are three reasons I always have in mind when I'm giving a gift to my wife. The first thing I have in mind is that a gift is a sign that I think and I care about you. A gift is a sign that I think and I care about you. A gift is also a sign of how much you mean to me. How much you mean to me. A majority of the time, a gift goes to meet a need. A need. So we understand from this scripture that God is the giver of a good gift. So what is a good gift? A good gift is something that is not only applicable and meets a need, but something that satisfies you and takes you to a higher dimension of living. So any good gift you receive is something that takes you to a point where you feel fulfilled. Fulfilled spiritually, fulfilled emotionally, and fulfilled physically. So in the light of the Lord being a giver of good gifts, we remind ourselves of the greatest gift that has ever been given. And what is this gift? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greatest gift that has ever been given. Jesus is the greatest gift that has ever been given that transcends generations, transcends humanity, transcends regions, transcends countries, transcends races. Jesus is the epitome of good gifts. Because when God gave his only son, Jesus Christ, he said, I am giving you my all so that you would be part of me. But for us to understand the gravity of Jesus being this wonderful gift, we have to go all the way to the book of Genesis. Can we read together? Genesis chapter 3, 13 to 15. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the first announcement of the gospel. In theological circles, we call this the proto-evangelium. The proto-evangelium means the first announcement of restoration and redemption. The first announcement that after the fall of Adam and Eve, the Lord had already begun working our salvation. And I want to remind you of this. God is not now thinking what he is going to do about your life. God already has a plan for your life. Before the foundations of the earth, according to the book of Revelations, the Bible is so clear that the Lamb of God was slain. So before even Adam and Eve existed, God knew that they would fall. And he had made provision for their redemption. And the announcement of that redemption comes directly in Genesis 3, 13 to 15. And I want to remind you, don't for a single day think, I am useless. Don't for a single day think, my life is not going forward. There is nothing working for me. For this is the truth. Even as Jeremiah proclaimed, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. The Lord has a plan for you. In the book of Psalms, the Lord proclaims. He says, the psalmist proclaims, my days were numbered in your books. The Lord knows you. He knows you to the extent that he knows every single hair on your head. So rejoice in this fact that the Lord has a plan for you. The Lord is working something amazing in your life. And once he has spoken it, his word will be fulfilled. His will be established. So even in the darkness of Adam and Eve falling to sin, there was a proclamation of hope. And he says, the idea of a birth signified the presence of humanity in the plan of redemption. The Lord our God is a God of principle. In the essence of his nature, he is a God who is just. And because he is just, if there is sin, there must be payment for that sin. And in the light of this payment, man could never have ever given a sufficient payment for this sin. So it took he himself to come in the form of man, live a sinless life, give himself on the cross, die, be resurrected, and win back our redemption. So in the light of that, we see a prophecy that comes from the prophet Isaiah. From the prophet Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is referred to as the mini Bible because literally it has two parts. The first part of condemnation without Christ and the second part of hope of redemption through Jesus Christ. So in the light of that, we are going to read Isaiah 7, 10 to 14. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. you shall call his name Emmanuel. So we see literally throughout the Bible, there are over 200 prophecies concerning the life of Jesus Christ. And within this spectrum of prophecies, we see seven of them that point toward his birth. And one of these prophecies highlight the fact that God will become flesh and will dwell amongst men. So in the book of John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. So we see that God in his essence took on the form of man and came down to earth to fulfill the very purpose of redemption. In Philippians chapter 2, he says, he did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but he decided to take on the form of man, suffering, even suffering unto death. And when he died, he was given a name that is above every name, that at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee will bow down. So literally, we see that right from the fall of Adam, there was an agenda for redemption. And in the light of that redemption, there had to be the sending of a man. There had to be the death of a man. And this man had to live a sinless life. And in for him to live that sinless life, he had to have a nature devoid from the nature of man. So then the prophecy came. You shall receive a sign. A son will be born, and his name shall be Emmanuel. And then the prophecy came to pass. Remember what I said earlier. The Lord has a plan for you. And if the Lord has spoken it, he will do it. The Bible is so clear. It says, not a single word of the Lord will return to him void. If it is the will of the Lord, he will establish it. So even as the Lord spoke of the prophecy of the birth of Christ through the prophet Isaiah, we see a fulfillment of that prophecy in Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 23. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means how beautiful. And I want us to note this. Amongst all the leaders of religions, amongst all the leaders who proclaim to have a means of salvation, it's only Jesus who was expected. No leader of any faith was expected. The criteria of expectation speaks of various prophecies pointing to a single birth, which were not only within the circles of the faith, but also within the circles of philosophy and astronomy. We see the beauty of Christ being foretold not only by people who looked on in hope, by people who searched in wisdom. And we see how beautiful it came. But yet without controversy, yet without discomfort. Many of the time I sit down and I think, what will I have done if I was Joseph? My beautiful bride, I'm about to get married to her. And from nowhere, I hear she's pregnant. The first thing I'll do is I'm going to pack my bags. because I know I didn't do anything. Then from nowhere, an angel appears to him in the dream, speaking of things. And the beauty of it is that the Lord always gives direction. If we are going to be sure to listen, the Lord will direct you. When he leads you according to his plan, he doesn't leave you in the sense of being hopeless. He leads you step by step. Here a little, there a little. You may not have the whole picture, but if you trust the Lord, he will continue to lead you. How then do we hear the voice of the Lord? How then do we know the Lord is leading us? If you draw close to him, through the study of his word, through prayer, through fellowship, the Lord will guide you. And I want to say this. The Lord is more interested in speaking to you than you are speaking to him. The Lord is more interested in touching your heart than you his. The beauty of God is he craves to be with you. In the book of Genesis, it says, in the coolness of the day, they heard the Lord walking in the garden. And I asked myself, what was the Lord coming to the garden to do? And when you read the Hebrew transition, it speaks of a custom that he made it a habit to come to them as though in search for a conversation. The Lord delights to speak to you. The Lord delights to guide you. The Lord delights to give you a message of hope concerning your family, concerning your future. The Lord delights to strengthen you. The days are evil. The days have so many problems. But the Lord desires to give you a vision of hope. Will you look unto Jesus? So similarly, the word came even unto our big brother Joseph. But in that came the purpose for all this. Amidst everything God does, there is a purpose. Nothing happens by chance in the sphere of God's sovereignty. The Lord works everything according to his divine counsel. It is not by chance that you are here today. Tell the person sitting beside you, it's not by chance that you know me or you are sitting beside me. If you are sitting beside your wife or your husband, tell the person, it's not by chance you are married to me. If you are not married to the person, I think you shouldn't say that. It's not by chance. It's not by chance. The Lord has a plan. It's not by chance you were born into the family you were born into. It's not by chance you were given that parent. It's not by chance you were born in Tanzania, right? You were born in Tanzania. It's not by chance. The book of Acts clearly says, for you, O Lord, demarcate the lines of my inhabitations. For you, O Lord, plant me in the place of my dwelling. The Lord gave you to your family, and he gave you a purpose. And I want to encourage you today, appreciate your family. Do not be shy of your family. Do not be shy of your parents. Do not be shy of your mother. Do not be shy of your... I am proud to be Ghanaian. I am proud to have short hair. I appreciate what the Lord has done with me. Rejoice for who God has made you. The Lord was intentional about you. He didn't say, oh, today, what am I going to do? Oh, hey, I'm going to make Spencer. No. He knew everything he was doing. And he had a plan for you. But just like the word coming unto Joseph, sometimes it comes with confusion. A little unforgiveness there. And sometimes those that hurt us the most are those who are very close to us. I remember back then, my big brother, he used to beat me. Huh? He used to beat, hey!
He used to beat me. I remember one day I was speaking good English. He asked me, why are you speaking good English? And he beat me. But then I remember 2015, one dawn, I was asleep and I received a phone call.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's up?
I just want to say sorry for everything I've done to you. I know I had not been fair to you.
I'm like, come again. Can you say that again?
You know, you have to make it as difficult as possible, you know.
But the beauty of appreciating your family is knowing that the Lord gave them to you. You do not choose your family. You may choose your friends, but your family are given to you by the Lord. And appreciate them. Irrespective of what they have done to you, forgive. Tell someone sitting beside you, let it go.
You didn't say it loud, huh? Tell someone, shake the person, let it go.
Amen. So forgive. And in the light of this forgiveness, I want to point to the purpose for which Christ had to come. Christ had to come to birth the nature of God in us again. Because literally when Adam fell along with Eve, we lost that nature. And how do we know this? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36, 22-27. Ezekiel 36, 22-27. Can we read together? Sansa, go.
So we see clearly in the light of
the things Israel was suffering, the Lord reminds them of restoration. And he reminds them, and I highlight three things. It starts with God. God saved you not because you are beautiful. God saved you not because you are handsome. God saved you not because you have curly hair. He didn't save you because of anything you did. God initiated the plan of salvation because he loves you. He said, thus says the Lord, it is not for your sake, O house. It is not for your sake. It is for him. It is because of his plan. It is because of his nature. It is because of what he has ordained from the beginning. The Lord instituted your salvation. The reason why God is going to use you to be a blessing to your family, the reason why God is going to use you to be a blessing to your nation, is not because of you. It's because of his plan. The reason why God is calling you to be a person of love and forgiveness is not because of you, but because of him. But then he goes on to say, and I will vindicate my holiness. I will save the profanity that you have done unto me within the nations. He goes on to highlight, I will gather you, establish you. He goes on to say, I will purify you. And from verse 26, the most important part I want to highlight, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. The Old Testament reveals a stone-hearted group of people who couldn't obey the Lord, even with all the rules and regulations. And the only way that they would be able to obey the Lord and be submissive unto him was if their hearts were changed. The reason why we struggle with unforgiveness, the reason why we struggle with rage and anger, is because we've not allowed the Lord to touch our hearts. The reason why our hearts are so pained, and sometimes when we remember some of these things that have happened in the past, we even seem to be having a heart attack, is because we've not allowed the Lord to touch us. We've not allowed the Lord to deal with our hearts. The Lord desires to take away the heart of stone to give you a heart of flesh. The Lord desires to teach you how to love again. The Lord desires to give you a heart that is kind. But above all, the Lord desires to give you a heart that will cause you to obey him. Do you struggle with walking with the Lord? Do you struggle with giving the Lord praise? Do you struggle with obedience? It starts from the heart. And this is the purpose of Christ coming. Because it is only through Jesus Christ that the heart of a man is changed. It is only through Jesus that your heart will be turned to a forgiven one. It is only through Jesus that that issue of anger can be dealt with. It is only through Jesus that hope can be restored in your heart. So even as I move to the conclusion, I ask this question. How do we make the most of God's gift to us? Can we read together? John 3:16. 1, 2, 3, go. One more time. It says, for God so loved the world. Did he say, for you so loved God? He says, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is in Christ and in Christ alone. The book of John says, he who has the Son has life, and he who doesn't have the Son has no life. It doesn't matter if you were born to Christian parents. It doesn't matter if you were born in a Christian family. It doesn't matter if you have been in the church for how many years. If you have not proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, condemnation awaits you. It doesn't matter how long you've sat in the church. It doesn't matter how beautiful you look. If you are without Jesus, condemnation awaits you. And it doesn't matter how good you are. For our goodness is like a filthy rag before the Lord. The only opening to the Father is Jesus Christ. So John 14 verse 6 says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 12 says, for there is no name given on earth and in heaven and under the sea that a man should be saved. Only the name Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if you shall believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Go before the Lord and tell the Lord, Father, I acknowledge that I am a sinner in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Help me change my heart. I open my heart to your Son Jesus, he who came and died for me, not because of anything he had done, but what I had done. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. This is the path unto salvation. And what happens when this happens? Our hearts are changed. We are able to live a holy life. We are able to walk in righteousness. So even as today we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ, I remind you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Accept him and live. But more so, if you have accepted him, bear the fruit of righteousness. And one of the fruits of righteousness is forgiveness. Today I want to encourage you. Has anybody wronged you in your family? Take the phone and send a message. I forgive you. Are you struggling to be at peace with anybody in your family? Is there anybody in your office that seems to be causing you so much problems and you wish the person would just die? This is the time to learn how to live peacefully with them. Is there any classmate of yours that you just think was sent by the devil to destroy your life? This is the time to learn how to love, because Jesus first loved us. Let's bow down our heads and say this prayer. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you want to pray and say, Father, today I've heard your word. I accept that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. Even as we commemorate the birth of your Son, help me, O Lord. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus Christ, that I may live a holy life. Also, if you are here and you are struggling with forgiveness, you have relationships that are turning sour, you want to pray this prayer. Father, grant me grace unto humility. Teach me humility to forgive. Teach me humility to care for even my enemies. Grant me wisdom to walk in your light. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We are going to stand and we are going to sing two songs. So I want you to stand and I want you to sing with all your heart. I want you to sing as though you know after we close from church, there's food waiting for you on the first floor. And of course, there's food waiting for you on the first floor. So you are going to sing two songs. The first song is entitled Wonderful, Merciful Savior. It's one of my favorite songs. God is good. Are we ready to go? Okay, man. Okay. Father, we bless your name. You are good and your mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing together. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Redeemer and friend. Who could One more time, Counselor.
Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost away. Oh, we've hopelessly lost away.
You
are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and praise our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. You are the one that we pray. You give the healing and
then it says,
Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your role. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we've fallen before your throne. You are the one that we, you are the one.
Amen. We are going to take our last hymn. And for this hymn, I want you to hold someone's hand even as we sing, Oh, Come, All Ye Faithful. If you are sitting beside someone you are comfortable with, hold their hands even as we sing, Oh, Come, All Ye Faithful. Thank you.
May the Lord remind you that He loved you first, so you ought to love Him. Even as you go forth in this Yuletide, may the Lord grant you grace to forgive them that have intentionally wronged you, to forgive those that seemingly make your life uncomfortable. May the Lord grant you grace to love your enemies and pray for them. But above all, I pray for you. May the Lord give you joy. May the joy of the coming of Jesus Christ be evident in your family. May your family be filled with joy. And may the Lord cause you to be a blessing to your family and your nation. God.